So listen, I just got to tell you, and you probably know this already, you wake up on Sunday morning and it's not unusual that you're facing a dilemma of some kind, right? And that's even true for those of us here who get to do the things that we get to do in a leadership role. Pastor Steve, Pastor Terry, Pastor Drake, Sharon, others administratively, including myself, right? So we'll get here and we'll hear something going on that's not good, right? Toilets are overflowing, or, you know, something's not working, or we'll hear stories from you about situations in your life that have turned for the worse. And that's kind of sometimes what we walk into on Sunday morning. And the reason that I bring that up today is that I when I get here and I hear this music playing, and it's often before you hear it, it's when they're rehearsing, our praise and worship team and the band and the singers and the choir. It like brings me to life. I just think it's going to be okay, right? Yeah, there are some toilets that aren't working and some carpets that are frayed and some situations that we're facing that I just found out that I didn't know before I came, but we're here to worship God, right? So when I get here, it's kind of like, forget all that other stuff. It really doesn't matter because I've got this great relationship with Him that's even better than life itself. And that's kind of the mindset that I walk into when I come in the morning, quite frankly, on Sunday mornings. And there's something about, I don't know why this is, it may be a weakness on my part, quite frankly, but it's like when the music kicks in and worship begins, it's like, yeah, it's going to be okay. You know, it's like, we'll fix those things later and, you know, we'll get those things taken care of because now I am here to worship God and God is here to behold my worship. And so that's going to be the focus of my attention today. So I want to share that with you because I'm so appreciative of our worship ministry. I need them. I need to come and worship. I need to hear the music and the singing. I need to be ushered into God's throne room so that I can put all those other things aside and really focus on the things that matter. And that is to worship God. So today we begin a brand new series based upon questions that you offered us on our why cards. A little over a month ago, I think we gave these cards to you in the bulletin. We said, hey, ask us questions that you'd like to have answered in our why series. Last week we answered the question, why Easter? Why do we celebrate the resurrection? That was one that we came up with. I don't think anyone sent a card in asking that. But let me read a few that you've offered that I'm going to try to answer today through scripture. This first person asked, why is life so hard for some and so easy for others? Another person asked, why do some of us have to suffer more than others? Another person asked, why is there so much suffering if God is so loving? Another person asked, why does God let us die if He loves us? And then finally, someone asked this question, why can't I find true meaning in life? And, you know, I told you this, I think, last week and maybe even the week before. Probably one of the worst decisions that I ever made here was to ask you to ask me these questions because I've got a stack like this of them and I'm going through them and I'm thinking, wow, you guys are really going through some tough things. You're asking some tough questions. And, you know, on the heels of Easter, if you weren't here with us last week, we just had a great day of celebration. It's funny because, you know, it was kind of dreary outside and we had to move the sunrise service inside here, you know, a little bit of a disappointment, but boy, God showed up in a great way. And we just had this great day of celebration. But in the middle of that celebration, I was aware of some of the situations that you're facing. Right? Some of you let me be part of your lives. And I think it's so that I can pray for you and also hopefully I can minister to you in some way. But can I just tell you, for some who are here today, Easter was a difficult thing to get through. Some of you had to go through an Easter without someone that you love very dearly. Some of you for the first time, some of you It's been a couple years, but it's still really hard to get through a celebration time like that without the person that you love so much, that you're so accustomed to sharing that holiday with. And so it broke my heart. So I was praying for you and thinking, you know, God's so good to us. He's going to minister to those people in just a great way. And I think he did in ways that go beyond even my knowledge. Some of you, I heard this last week, some of you just got some really bad news. Right on the heels of Easter, some of you just found out a really bad thing for you or for someone in your family. And some of you continue to fight through some very difficult health situations, right? And you're just trusting God to get you through those times. Some in here lost their jobs last week or a week or so before that. Some of you are barely hanging on to your jobs. Some of you are barely hanging on to your homes. Some of you are struggling so much financially that you're not sure how this week is going to go because last week didn't go well. Some of you, I heard this personally, some of you are struggling in strained relationships that have gotten so bad that you're considering divorce right now, to be forever separated from the person that you once said that you had fallen madly in love with. And the reason that I bring all those things up, I don't mean to be a Debbie Downer for you today, but the truth of the matter is that's reality. And I don't want to stand up here and mislead anybody by telling you that all you have to do is you just come to church on a regular basis and you pursue this close relationship with God and God fixes all of those things. Because quite frankly, I don't know that to be absolutely true, right? He may fix all those things because of your relationship with him, but I can't promise you that he will. And here's why I say that. That is not the message of this book, the Bible. That's not the message of the Bible, that if you pursue a relationship with him and you follow him closely and you do everything that he tells you to do, that all of the difficult things that you don't like that are happening in your life, that they'll get fixed and they'll go away. That's not the message that this Bible speaks of. Here's the message of the Bible. It is that he will give you something even greater than all of those things. It's a relationship with him. It's a personal one-on-one relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so the real question that we have to ask ourselves is, do we not see that as being enough? Is that not enough in the middle of our hardship and our difficulties and our challenges? Is he not enough for us? Because he says he is. He says he will be. He says that he desires to be in your life. And he's sitting there and the Bible says he's knocking on the door. And he's saying, if you let me come in and dine with you, I'll get you through these hardships. I'll get you through these challenges. Doesn't say he'll take them away. He says, you and I together, we can do all things through me who will give you strength. That's the message of this Bible. So when I think about that, I recognize that the message of this book is that there's something greater in knowing him than the difficulties or the challenges that you're facing in this life today. And I want you to know this morning that all that you ever really need can only be found in Jesus. All that you ever really, really, I mean, there are some things that I want like you want, right? There are some things if God sends them my way, I'm okay with that, right? If he wants to bless me in that way, that's fine. But it's not what I need. It's maybe what I want. What I really need is him. And that's the only thing that I need. He is the only thing that I really need in this life. So one of you asked, In your why card, why is life so hard for some and so easy for others? And the Bible tells us that God is no respecter of persons. What that means is he doesn't play favorites, right? He is just as available to you as he is to the person sitting next to you. He is just as available to his disciples. He was just as available to them as he is to those of you who believe in him and who follow him today, right? He's available to all of us equally. And he is all you need regardless of the circumstances that you're facing. And in some kind of strange way, you probably can relate to that by some relationships that you've had in the past. Let me give you an example. When I was younger, much younger, there were girls that I really liked. I mean, honestly, I just really liked them. Some of them, I even told them that I loved them. But when I faced a challenging circumstance or difficult situation, it's interesting to note that my devotion to them and my love for them moved to full attention to my dilemma and the problem that I was facing, right, pretty quickly. But when I met my wife, Cindy, all of that changed. Let me give you an example. A short time after we started dating, I was finishing up a night shift and I was really tired and I missed a turn and drove into a telephone pole at 7-Eleven with my brand new car. Right, my first brand new car. And so in the past, when I had dated and liked and loved these other girls, it would be like, hey, if you scratch my car, man, that's terrible. My day was ruined. My week was ruined when you did that, right? But after I started dating Cindy and I hit that telephone pole, the strangest thing happened. I was like, oh, it's just a car, right? It'll be fine, right? I still got her. We used to meet for cheddar cheese soup at Denny's after I would finish with an afternoon shift. And every once in a while, they would put me on an afternoon shift. It was like, I forget what time it was. Was it like 3 to 11 or something like that? But sometimes they would bring me in 4 hours early and I'd work a 12-hour shift. Well, one of those times, Cindy said, hey, let's meet for cheddar cheese soup. You know, like every couple in love does at midnight at night at Denny's. So this is what we did. We met there and I was so tired, but I had worn my favorite Penn State shirt that day. One that I actually got at Penn State when I attended there, right? It's like my prize shirt. It's my favorite shirt. And I must have been so tired that I missed my mouth a few times because I got cheddar cheese on my shirt, right? And that stain never came out. It ruined my shirt. But I wasn't like, hey, you know, I met with her and now look at my shirt. You know, I was like, no biggie. It's just a shirt. I still got her, right? So my whole perspective on life changed because of my love relationship with my soon-to-be wife. And she not only changed my perspective of life, but she changed my schedule as well. Back then, you can ask Cindy about this. This is the honest-to-goodness truth. Cheryl, you'll love this. I played basketball every night. Sunday through Saturday, every night I played. True or not? Every night, for years, every night, the guys would call me and say, hey, we're playing at Southern Lehigh tonight, or we're playing at Iron Middle School tonight, or we're playing at Upper Perk tonight. Well, all of a sudden, when I met Cindy, I said, hey, I'm with Cindy tonight, right? And they were like, what's that? What do you mean you're not playing with us anymore? Now watch this, because I want you to see this in perspective. Cindy did not fix the dent in my car. Cindy didn't remove the stain from my shirt, and Cindy certainly did not enhance my NBA career. Right? It was just that she was enough. Right? She having her was enough to overcome all those other difficulties and those bad circumstances in my life. Because as long as I had her, it was going to be okay. And I was going to work through those problems. So imagine what a relationship with Jesus Christ can be like, if a relationship with another human being can be that transformational, right? I'm going to say this again to you so that you can grasp it, hopefully the second time. A relationship with God is better than life itself. A relationship with God is better than just being alive. It's just better to experience all the wonderful things that we get to experience in this life. It's better than that. It's better than your best day in your favorite place with your favorite people. A relationship with God is better than any moment that you'll ever experience in this lifetime. because it really is all that we have and all that we need in this lifetime. And God may not fix every difficult situation that you're facing. He may not remove those things from your life. He may not fix this and he may not fix that. And quite honestly, the Bible indicates that being a believer and follower of Jesus Christ means that those things might even get worse. Right? Foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. If that's true of Jesus, could it not be true of you and I today? It is true of you and I today, at least some of us here today. So one of you asked this question, why is there so much suffering if God is so loving? And let's refer back to the Apostle Paul again. I know I've used him several times, including last week, but his life is such a perfect example for you and I who sometimes struggle with relating to the life of Jesus Christ, because it's like, well, he's perfect, right? And I'm so far from that. Well, the Apostle Paul was not perfect, right? So you and I can maybe relate better to his life. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to Philippians chapter 1, because I want to show you a statement that he makes in the middle of great difficulty and hardship that he's facing. Keep this in mind. He's writing the words that we read in the book of Philippians while he's in jail, right? And we talked about this last week. Paul, before he was named Paul, his name was Saul. And Saul had it going. I mean, he really, quite frankly, had a wonderful place in this life. He had prestige and he had some power and he had some popularity among his peers. He had great respect. The Bible doesn't tell us this specifically, but I'm inclined to believe that Paul had some wealth. He had some affluence in his life, right? But he has this encounter with Jesus Christ. And do you know the first thing that happens to him once he's introduced to Jesus Christ? He goes blind, right? Why? Well, because there was a sickness that befell him. No, the power of God fell upon him in such a way that he went blind. And so God has this messenger that he wants to send to Paul to cure him of his blindness, or heal him, I should say. So this messenger goes, I don't want to go to him. He kills Christians. And God says, no, I got to do this for a reason. And so imagine this with me. This is the great Apostle Paul. I know what God's going to do to the Apostle Paul, right? He's going to give him great pleasure. He's going to give him even greater popularity. The Apostle Paul is going to receive great prestige among his peers of that time. Wrong answer. That is not what happens to the Apostle Paul. Listen to what the Lord tells his messenger to do so that God can do this in Paul's life. Acts 9:16 says, I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. So what kind of peculiar way is that to draw someone to himself? And yet that's the reality of Paul's life. Once he moves from being Saul to Paul and becomes a Christian, a believer, a passionate follower of Jesus Christ. We'll talk about this maybe next week if the Lord continues to lead us in that direction and allows me to be here with you. But I want you to know this week. After Paul gets saved, almost every place he goes, he gets beat up. He goes through hardship and struggle for most of the rest of his life. But you would never know it through the way that he talks. If we were there with him at the time, I don't think you'd ever know it through the way that he acts, right? Because it didn't matter to him because of the relationship that he had with Jesus Christ. Paul doesn't care what he's facing because he's so in love with Jesus. That's the only thing that matters to him. So listen to this great statement that he makes in Philippians chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Paul says this. He says, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Paul is saying that he's not living for fame. He's not living for fortune. He's not living for pleasure or comfort. And no matter what he faces in this life, whether it be good or whether it be bad, he just wants to have the courage to make sure that Christ is exalted in his life, even if it means he has to face death on an ongoing basis. And you may be sitting there thinking, well, that's Paul, but that's not me. That's crazy thinking. Some of you may even be thinking, that's sick. That's a sick way of thinking. But Paul sees things differently after he falls madly in love with Jesus Christ. And he's saying, are you kidding me? Are you telling me that I get to have a personal relationship with the creator of the universe? The one who created me. The one who hung the stars and the moon and the sun in the sky. The one who sits on the throne wielding his power and his authority in all of his creation. I get to have a relationship with him. I get to know the one who was and is and always will be. I get to know the great I am personally. And he sent his son to die on a cross so that my sins can be forgiven forever, and I can have this ongoing relationship with him, not just today, not just tomorrow, not just for the rest of my life, but forever and ever and ever. Are you kidding me? And he's saying, so what do you and I have to worry about in this life? What in the world could be so bad if we have him regardless of what we're facing? Paul is telling us this morning, he is all we need. He's everything to Paul. And your relationship with Christ, it may not be quite that way, but can I tell you, it's available to you today because he loves you madly. When I got hitched with Cindy, right, I got hitched with a lifelong partner. And just being very honest with you, I can get caught up in my work and I can get very, very busy. And there are times that I will, ignore Cindy or maybe even take her for granted. And it's funny because every once in a while I get caught up in all the great things that I get to do, but it'll come to mind that Cindy's still there and I'll look and there she is at my side. Right? Like she's always there. You know, it's, you know, I'll go a day or I'll go a few days. I mean, I'll go a week of just sleeping and eating and trying to do what God wants me to do. And it'll be like, you know what? I haven't paid any attention to Cindy, you know, and I'll go, where is it? And she'll be right there. It'll be like, hey, you're still here, right? Always at my side. If Cindy can be that kind of helpmate, and that kind of partner in this life with me, how much greater can Jesus Christ be with us, right? How much greater is the relationship that we have with Jesus than the relationship that we have with fallen, broken human beings who, if it weren't for the grace of God, wouldn't even be good partners in our life, right? I mean, it's amazing what we have access to. So here's what I recognize in the middle of those times where I'm ignoring Cindy or I'm taking her for granted, and I haven't paid the proper amount of attention to her. It's like, I need to do that, right? She is far too valuable to me in my life to ignore her. Again, how true is that in your relationship with Jesus Christ? Right? You'll turn to him and I'll turn to him when we're going through difficult times. But why not turn to him all the time, anytime, every time? Why not just go, hey, it's you and me together and whatever I'm facing today, we're going to do this together. And whatever good times I have today, I'm going to praise you and I'm going to give you glory for that. That's the kind of relationship that I want to have with you. And if I can have you, then God, you can have everything else. You can have everything else. Whatever you want me to have, I'll take. Whatever you don't want me to have, take away. You're all that I want, and you're all that I need. And I think maybe our lives should look a little bit more like the parable of the hidden treasure that Jesus shares in Matthew chapter 13. Listen to what he says in verse 44. He says, the kingdom of heaven, and I want you to see the kingdom of heaven as a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because sometimes when we say the kingdom of heaven, we're going, well, that's what we get when we get in heaven. But let me tell you, you're kingdom people, right? Even though this isn't your home, we're kingdom-minded people. We are members of his kingdom right now. So the kingdom of heaven, this relationship that you and I currently have with Jesus Christ, or can have, it's like a treasure hidden in a field. And when a man found it, he hid it again, didn't want to lose it, so he hid it again, didn't want someone else to steal it from him. He hides it again, and then in his joy, he went and he sold all that he had to buy the field. Right? All I need is that. And if I got that, I've got everything that I need. That's the attitude that you and I can and probably, no, should have as believers and passionate followers of Jesus Christ. All I really have to do is think about everything that comes with this incredible relationship with the Lord. And suddenly my hardships and my worries and my anxiousness and the distractions that keep me away from focusing on him, they just go away. Right? It's like nothing. Doesn't matter. It's only temporary. I got God. And he's all I need, right? Everything else is worthless in comparison. So this has been my prayer this week, that this would be revelation to you. That God would speak to you in such a way that whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, whatever is either coming up or has just happened or is happening to you right now, that you'll see this, that you'll grasp this, that you'll embrace it, and that you'll pursue this ongoing love relationship with Jesus Christ in such a way that he will be your everything. And Paul invites you and I in the book of Philippians in this first chapter to kind of be part of this conversation that he's having with himself. Paul's thinking about, which would be better for me? Would it be better for me to be in heaven with Jesus, or would it be better for me to continue to stay here and pursue the things that he wants me to pursue? So he brings us in on this process of thinking in Philippians 1 verses 22 through 26. Listen to what he says. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. So Paul says this, he goes, I know it would be better to be with Jesus Christ, right? Face to face in that perfect place. It doesn't get any better than that. And I'm ready. I'm ready to go and be with him, but what if God's not done with me yet? In fact, the evidence is God's using me in this great way to encourage other people to pursue the relationship that I have in Jesus Christ. I get to be an ambassador of the way God moves through a relationship like this with him. So yeah, it would be better for me to go to heaven, but quite frankly, it'd be better for you if I stay here. And as we look back over scripture, you and I can go, I am so glad that he stayed. I'm so glad that he allowed us to read the words that God spoke through him in Philippians chapter 1 so that I can be encouraged to pursue that kind of relationship, right? Paul says, according to 2 Corinthians 5:8, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, but that day will come later. I'm choosing, according to God's perfect plan and will for my life, to continue to serve him and to serve others. So one of the questions that we read this morning that you asked was, why can't I find meaning in life? And Paul says you can. You really can. Through and in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Because if you have this kind of love relationship with Jesus, you'll want him and what he wants through you more than you'll want what you want in the life that he's given you. right? Colossians 1:16 says, all things have been created through him and for him. Other versions of the Bible translations will say all things have been created by him and for him, right? You've been created by God for God. That's the purpose that you can experience, the great purpose in this life. And if that sounds like a downer to you, just think about this. You get to exalt the creator of the universe in a way that will be not only transformational for others, but quite frankly, transformational for you as you pursue that love relationship with him. And the 24 elders in heaven, they teach us something really significant about serving our creator and our Lord and our God in Revelation 4:11. They say, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. We exist to honor God with the life that he has given us and acknowledge his power and his glory while we're alive. And Paul says, being with Christ is better, but if I can stay here and help others, that's probably God's plan. And the evidence of that happening is through this relationship that he's granted me to have that is apparently impacting a lot of people's lives as they pursue that kind of relationship for themselves. So if he is all that you need and you know him as Lord and Savior right here, right now, today, and you know and believe and trust in him, then you have heaven to look forward to. But until that day comes that you meet Christ face to face, there's a plan and a purpose to honor and to glorify God's name through the way that he empowers you to live. And Paul says, I can consider these two things, but I want what God wants, and apparently God wants me to stay and to serve him better. So see this, Paul's decision to stay and serve, it's loving and it's sacrificial, right? Because he goes, and quite frankly, it'd be better not to be in prison. It'd be better not to be shipwrecked as many times as I've been shipwrecked, to be flogged as many times as I've been flogged, to be almost killed by stoning like I have been, to be hungry and to be naked and to be desperate. Yeah, it'd be better. But God's using me to honor and glorify his name while I am here. So I want you to hear what the Apostle Paul is really saying. He's saying, I think there's more of me that I can give. I think that there is more of me that I can surrender and sacrifice so that honor and glory will be given to God. And I want you to look very closely before we move on at Philippians 1:24 again. He says, it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Can you and I say that this morning? Can you say that? Quite frankly, it'd be better for you if I stay here and not go to heaven right away. Can we say that today? Like imagine this, like if some of you were asked to move because of your job or some other situation, right? And so you're moving. How would you impact the church if you left, right? Would some of, I mean, there'd be people, I'm just going to tell you this, there are people that are serving here today that I'd be like, oh no. Man, I hate that those people are leaving. Why? Because they're so giving. They're so committed. There's such great fruit coming from their lives. They're dedicated to serving God. I hate it that we're losing those people. I know some guys that go, oh, you know, God does those things. I'm like, I grieve about that, right? I hate losing people who are passionately following Jesus Christ because they make a tremendous impact in our church, right? So is that true of you as well? Or how about your neighborhood? Like if they saw a moving van in your driveway, would your neighbors kind of flock to you and go, you can't move? You're a major part of our community and our neighborhood. We can't lose you. Would that happen? Or would they not even know that you were gone? Because if that's true, then maybe this relationship that you have with Jesus Christ isn't everything that he wants you to have. And so that his power through you can impact the lives of those that are around you profoundly. Right? This is what I would say to some of you if you got relocated by your job. I'd say to you, would God not be telling you to take a pay cut and find another job and stay here with us? Right? I mean, could he not possibly? Because you are impacting this community of believers in a profound way, and I just hate to see that stop. So when that happens, lives are changed and God is honored. So this is the question that I think Paul is asking me, and I hope he's asking you this as well. Are you necessary to the church? In other words, if you got called to move away, would the church be at a great loss because you're gone? Are you needed? Are you necessary? Are you a necessity in the world that God has placed you in? Because if you aren't, I want you to know this. Today, you can be through your relationship with Jesus Christ and your desire to serve others. Sometimes you and I were famous for running from our problems, right? We see a problem and we go, I'm going the other way, right? I see that coming, and we want to avoid that problem or that hardship at all costs. Do you know the Apostle Paul says, I don't do it that way, right? I hit that problem running head on, and I'm going to confront that problem. Paul says, listen, when you see a problem coming your way, go ahead and celebrate it. Well, where does he say something like that? In Romans 5, verses 3 through 5. He says, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. And character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame. Now watch this. Paul says that in Romans 3, verse 4. But he goes on, verse 5. Remember what he said in Philippians 1, 20. I will have sufficient courage to not bring shame or be ashamed, right? So this is what he says here again. Hope doesn't put us to shame when we place our hope in Christ, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You see, there is a reason that God allows us to suffer. It draws us to Him. It builds us in strength. It builds us in character. And in the future, when we face hardships and difficulties, we go, you know what? I've been through this stuff before. God always takes me through the storm and seldom takes me around it. So why is this not happening in our lives? Why are some of you saying that all sounds good and that sounds so positive and I love the enthusiasm and the rah-rah, but quite frankly, it isn't happening. I don't feel like it's happening. Let me tell you the reason that I believe it may not be happening and why you may not be experiencing it. Because you do not understand the power of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you. That's waiting to break out and show others the great God that you serve. I suggest to you today that if you believe in Jesus Christ, you have more power than you possibly can imagine. Paul tells us that in the book of Ephesians. Listen to what he says to that church in Ephesians 1, verses 16 through 21. He says, I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Listen to those words. So that you may know him better. Is there more to God than what you know today? There very may well be more. Paul prays that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. Verse 19 is powerful, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in this present age, but also in the one to come. My mom she passed away. She had this great car. And so my dad called me and my brothers and he said, I think it'd be appropriate if one of you had it, but I can't just give it away because I can't show favoritism. So one of you may have it. And apparently I must have been his favorite son because I ended up getting it. No, my brother's actually listening to this message right now. He listens every Sunday. So hopefully he takes this well. He set a certain price and so I traded the blue van and gave him some money. And he allowed me to work it off. I went to his home and did some work. I mean, you do work for your dad for nothing, but this is the way that my dad worked this off. So worked this out. So I love this car. And it was really a nice car. It's the nicest car I've ever owned, much nicer than the one I hit in the telephone pole. But I'm driving this thing around and I'm going like, and this is so uncharacteristic of me. I'm going like 10 miles lower than the speed limit, and I'm not parking by anybody else in a parking lot. And like if anybody inched towards me, I'm just getting off to the side. You go around me because this is my new car and this is really nice. And so my dad was riding with me one time and he says, what are you doing? And I said, well, Dad, this car is so nice. I don't want to mess it up. And he said, Rick, do you realize what you have in this car? And he said, do you know what's under the hood? And I don't know engines and I don't know cars. And so he goes, this is a V8. I mean, there's power in this car. You're wasting it by the way you're driving. He goes, let me show you. So he gets out of the car. He moves in the driver's seat. He punches that gas pedal to the floor. Those wheels squeal and we go like 0 to 60 in 3 seconds, right? And he goes, that's what you have available to you in this car. You know, I'm not asking you to break any laws or speed limits, Barry, but I want you to use this car for what it's worth, right? You've got this accessible to you. That's what Paul's telling us today as believers and passionate followers of Jesus Christ. That's the power that you have available today. And if you don't know about it, you won't ask for it. And if you don't access it, then you won't be able to acknowledge it before others. Right? It's there. It's the power to get you through anything that you face in this life. And I mean anything, including the thing that you're going through right now that you think you can't get through. He promises that he'll get you through that thing. Right? So this is Paul, of all people who's gone through all these things. He's got a message for you this morning that will not be taught in many churches on Sunday morning. I'm going to go on record as saying that. Obviously, we're recording this. Not many churches will preach or teach what Paul says in Philippians 1, verse 29. But this is what he tells us this morning as Wildwood. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him. That will preach in other churches. You will hear that in a lot of churches. But what about the rest? But also to suffer for him. Why? Because what he's really saying here is that you are in for one incredible journey when you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And there will be situations that you will face that you would never know to ask for. In fact, you would run from if you did not have Jesus Christ. But because you have Jesus Christ and a personal relationship with him, you obliterate that thing. You run at it and you run through it. And when you get to the other side, you go, what's next? What's next? What is it that you want me to endure? What is it that you want me to persevere through? What suffering do you have for me so that your name will be honored and you will be glorified through my life? And who's following me? Whose life can I impact and show them what it means to have this incredible relationship with Jesus Christ, right? This will be your attitude. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. All things. There is nothing in this world that's greater than the power of God through the love relationship that he has given to you and to me today. Do you believe that? Do you honestly believe that? Because if you believe that, when you leave here today, you'll leave in a different fashion than the way that you came in. If you believe that today, the way that you'll see the hardships and the trials and the difficulties that you're facing right now, they will look minuscule in comparison to the way they looked when you came in today, right? And you'll be able to leave here today and just worship and praise God in the midst of that hardship. in that struggle. And that's my prayer for you this morning. So as Pastor Steve and members of his praise team join me on stage today, let me ask you this question. Is that the kind of relationship that you have with Jesus Christ? You know him. You know about him. You know who he is. You know what he does. He saves us from our sins. But do you have this relationship with him that there's more of him inside of you right now than exists of you? Right? So when people see you, do they see you or do they see him? The way that you respond to adversity, do they see you or do they see him? The way that you respond to sickness, do they see you? Do they see him? The way that you respond to broken relationships and financial hardships and pressure that seems to be coming from every angle upon you, do they see you or do they see him? He's wanting for them to see him. And he's available to you today. Would you stand with me this morning as we close our services and bring this time that we have together to an end? If you want that kind of relationship with Jesus Christ, then today just cry out to him. Just say to him, that's what I'm looking for, Lord. I believe in you. I trust in you. And I see now maybe why you're not removing some of these hardships and these struggles. It's not because you can't. It's not because you don't want to. It's because there are greater things that you'll do through those hardships and those struggles than you ever would have had you just removed them, right? And so his desire is for you to bring honor and glory to him. If you don't have that kind of relationship with him, you can do that today. You can just simply say to him, I believe in you. I trust in you. Would you give me the courage and the desire to follow you from this day forward? Thank you for forgiving me of my sins. I'm a sinner and I need your forgiveness. I want to have that kind of relationship with you. He will respond 100% of the time. There were people last week that stood up at the baptismal that professed Jesus as Lord and Savior in different languages. And God heard that and heaven celebrated and we celebrated. I want to celebrate again with you. And you can speak it in English or you can speak it in a tongue or you can speak it in another language, but speak it. Confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior so that someone that's sitting in the audience goes, I want to do that too. That is so cool. We've got people that have attended here for a long time. You're like, you know, what's required to join? Here's what's required to join. That you join us hand in hand to minister to others. That's the only thing that's required. You place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and you've been baptized, then it's time for you to join Wildwood and join us in the ministry that God's doing through this church in our community as a lighthouse and a beacon for his glory. If there's anything that we can pray for you about, deacons will be to my left and right. I'll be here in the center. Come to us and let us know that we can pray. Otherwise, this altar is open to you. And if you'd like to kneel before him and acknowledge him as Lord and King, then I know that that's a good way and a good posture to do that. You respond as the Holy Spirit is leading you right now while we sing this last song together.